aften og velkommen til Radio Shalom på 87,6 MHz på FM-båndet og på www.radioshalom.dk. Mit navn er Alexander Mikhtarslav. I aften vil jeg igen præsentere et indslag fra den jødiske kulturfestival, nemlig et meget rørende møde med Doron Almog, den tidligere israelske general, der droppede militæret for at hellige sig sin handicappede søn og andre handicappede børn ved at grundlægge et behandlingsinstitution Alech Negev. Doron Almog fortæller os om sit arbejde, om sit kald. Her er, hvad der står om i vente i festivalkataloget. Tidligere højst dekoreret general i Israel, Doron Almog, holder et bevægende foredrag om sin søn Iran, der er multihandicappet. Han beskriver selv sin søn som drengen, der aldrig talte, der aldrig kaldte ham far, aldrig lavede øjenkontakt, og som blev hans livs største berigelse. General Almog stoppede sin militærtjeneste for at lede sit livs kamp, kampen for en bedre verden. Han oprettede en behandlingsinstitution for handicappede børn i Negev, der hedder Alech. Almog modtog Israelprisen i år 2016. Det er den største ære givet af den israelske stat, og Almog fik den både for sin enestående militærservice, og samtidig blev prisen også givet for hans enestående lederskab i at etablere det innovative, banebrydende sociale initiativ, som Alech er. Han vil fortælle om sin behandlingsinstitution i Negev og forholdet til sin søn. Doron Almogs foredrag er på engelsk. Den indledes på dansk af Jette Sylberg.
I fra at være en højstående militærperson til at danne sin egen institution for børn og unge, der er handicappede. Han har en meget stærk livshistorie, og det er den, han gerne vil fortælle og har sit budskab om, hvordan vi kan blive bedre til at hjælpe vores medmennesker, og at alle har en ret her på jorden, alle har ret til liv og et godt liv, og det er ikke alle menneskers liv, der ser ud ligesom mit og jeres. Nogle har nogle vanskeligheder, og det er det, som han vil fortælle om. Oplægget her, det starter med en lille YouTube-video på 3-4 minutter, og så kommer det på rundt. Byd ham velkommen for din overtid.
My name is Doron Almog. I'm a father of Iran Almog. Iran, our love son, was the greatest professor of my life. The son who never said one word, never made eye contact, but he was the most influential person over my life. The power behind my decisions to take my life and dedicate them for children like him. I arrived to a position of the commander of the Israeli South Command, responsible to about 60% of the state of Israel, including Gaza, the Egyptian border, the Jordanian border, and at the same time, getting a formal letter from Israeli Ministry of Education saying, your son reached the age 18, when he comes to 21, he won't be continuing any longer studying in special education school. Why? Because this is the rule. This is no difference between 21 and age 4 or 5 or 6, his baby, as a matter of fact. 35 years service in military were amazing, but now I was totally decisive on establishing this village and fighting for children like my son. We conceptualize something new, something that is not existed. We bring children to our world. We want them to be better than us, a source of pride. You announce that you won't be able to be independent. You need to make your own decision the focus of your life to bring a smile to his face, to give up on the greater dream that one day he would be a professor, a Nobel Prize winner, a champion on whatever. We opened the village in 2006. We brought our son, Eran, to this village. He was living here one wonderful year, until February 2007, then he passed away. Without his presence, my son was always debating with me. My dear father, I'm not here anymore. But what about you? You made this effort only for me? What about my friends? The fulfillment belonged to him. He is the power behind. I'm the messenger, but he is the one to push me. In this normal kindergarten, we integrate severely disabled children. And we educate the small children, the little children, we educate to accept those who aren't privileged. Creativity is out of the box thinking. It's facing a problem and deciding on a brand new concept that is not existent and creating a new solution. Find something new to our society.
Good afternoon. Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Experiment. Okay, you hear me well at the end? That's fine? Okay. So my life is dedicated to severely disabled children. And I came to Denmark, to Copenhagen, first time in my life, together with Didi, my wife, the mother of Eran, our loved son, who is not anymore with us, who passed away 12 years ago. And I'd like to share with you our Jewish values. What about this conversation? It's about what united us as Jews. What is the spirit of our people? What does it mean? We say, Kol Israel Aregim Zeh Lazeh. We all responsible, one for each other. What does it mean? I thought I know what does it mean, but as a matter of fact, I didn't know. My teacher, my educator, this child, Eran Almog, who born January 6, 1984, when I was in military, 33 years old, Special Force Unit Commander, leading operations in Sudan, bringing Jews who were in trouble, in misery, in suffering, in person, to Israel, the only Jewish state in the world. And shortly after his birth, we saw something is different. He was not a regular child. You click just before his face, nothing happened. Clap hands, no eye blinking, no reaction. We started some tests, and at the age of 8 months, he was diagnosed by a psychologist who told Didi, my wife and me, your son is having a combination of autism and retardation. I think first time in my life I heard the word autism. She said, I believe he will never speak. I believe he will permanently stay at the age of few months. For us, that was a shock. I don't know if you ever felt something like the sky crashing on your head. Didi started crying, and we asked ourselves how we continue managing our life. When we bring children to our life, as a matter of fact, we want them to be better than us, more successful, more talented, a source of pride. When we do this simple action, taking ourselves, showing pictures of a successful child. As a matter of fact, we speak about ourselves. Because we have made it. In our family, everyone is genius. The apple fell near the tree. Father is genius, mother is genius, grandpa is genius, everyone is genius. Of course, it must be successful. Have you ever met a father or mother showing pictures saying, this is my severely disabled child? Very rare. So, as a matter of fact, we were in crisis. We didn't know how to continue managing our life. Women deliver baby after 8 or 9 months, 9 months pregnancy. As a matter of fact, think we are one. The phenomenon of one is me. It's like me. I brought him. He suffers, I suffer. He's crying, I'm crying. So you need to have a separation one day. Didi and me, at the first 2 years, cried a lot. Until after 2 years, we saw his smile. When we saw his smile, we understood he has some cognition. He knows how to connect A plus B plus C, smile. It's a puzzle. You don't know why he's smiling. Why smiling? Don't know, but he's smiling. So he got his own world. We are crying. Why we are crying? We are crying for ourselves because we don't see a hope. We don't see a future for him, but he may be happy. And he got his own world, and we got our own world. And the child who has never said one word, is like saying, my dear parents, I may be happy. It's up to you. Are you ready to give me good life? Are you ready? I don't know if at age of 2 years, we were completely ready to the long march which we did since his birth. It came gradually, step by step. So when he was born, I was 33 years old, Special Force Unit Commander, and this child became the drive behind me. For him, we built a village. You just saw the video on this village. This is the ceremony, the groundbreaking ceremony of the village. Didi, Eran, our son, myself speaking. On the left side, the first year in this village, Independence Day ceremony, the flag of Israel is smiling. Is holding a video cassette. What is this video cassette? It's the same video cassette from age 3. In this picture, he is 22. It's the same video cassette. Children like him with severe brain damage have the phenomena of watching again and again and again and again and again and see the same video. He may be sitting near a door, closed, open, closed, open, closed, open. 4 hours for him, it was something great to do the same. So for brain injury, it's something regular, normal for him to sit near a door again and again and again and again, or to watch the same video. And you need to understand, if you want to communicate with him. This picture, this is 1984, the year that he was born. Yeah, I'm 33 years old, Special Force Unit Commander, getting from Sudan. The Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Shamir, welcomed us we brought in each operation, we brought about 600 Jews from the Sudanese desert, Jews from Ethiopia, who were in suffer, in misery, in desert. We brought them to a new home. Until now, it's difficult to assimilate the Jews from Ethiopia in a modern country. But I think, despite the difficulties, we continue doing well. And I'm presenting my military career because at that time, I continue being a father. And the voice, the echo of our son, like saying here, my dear father, you do operation for the state of Israel, but are you ready also to do some operations for me? I was the first Israeli soldier in Entebbe, 1976. I believe you remember the night between the 3rd and 4th of July 1976. 105 Israeli hostages were taken by 7 terrorists hostage on the flight from Ben Gurion Airport to Paris, landed in Athens, taken by 7 terrorists who flew them to Entebbe, started negotiating with the Israeli government at that time, headed by Rabin, Prime Minister Rabin, asking to release 52 terrorists from Israeli prisons to Germany. In return, they will give the hostages. The Israeli government from one side said, yes, our hands are tied 4,000 kilometers away from the state of Israel. On the other side, just 24 hours before the operation, we, the soldiers, got order, be ready to fly and release them. So we flew 4,000 kilometers. We landed 11 p.m. sharp, 53 minutes on the ground of Entebbe, and killed 7 terrorists and about 30 Ugandan guards, and brought back the 105 Israeli hostages. We lost Yoni Netanyahu, Lieutenant Colonel Yoni Netanyahu, brother of our Prime Minister Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu. We lost 3 of the hostages. A friend of mine, Hersh Kosuin, got a bullet in his hand. He is in a wheelchair. He is alive in Israel. He is in a wheelchair, speaking. He got a master in computer science, but he needs the assistance of his own Filipino on every single second of his life. He can drink by himself, eat by himself, wash, replace diaper, whatever, and it needs assistance every single minute. That's the return of the hostages from Entebbe. Operation was 43 years ago. You know, every year we meet the soldiers, we have the memorial service for Yoni Netanyahu, so we meet some of the soldiers who are getting older, some of them passed away, and also some of the hostages. One of them was 6 years old, shy. Now is 49. That's life. And on the other side, I'm speaking about my son. My son, like saying to me, my dear father, you saved 105 Israeli hostages. These hostages were 1 week of their life hostage. But I'm hostage from my birth. I'm unable to do anything by my own power. My dear father, are you ready also for a social endeavor? Think about it. Are you ready? Our son was named after my brother, That's me at the age of 22, just 2 months before the Yom Kippur War, 1973, August 1973. On the left side, my brother, 20 years old. I was a paratrooper company commander. He was Omo platoon commander at the 7th Brigade. He was lieutenant. At that time, also I was lieutenant. And then the war came. He was the commander of the 2nd platoon. See the number 2. This is his tank, his burn tank. He was shot by a Syrian tank from 50 meters in his front, thrown outside. There are 4 members in each tank. He was the only survivor. He was thrown outside here, bleeding. He was hit on his left leg. He could be saved. And he was laying here on the ground of the Golanite soil, bleeding, crying, shouting for assistance. No one arrived. Here, you can see a bell and a tank. This is Syrian tank. Just imagine the proximity between the Syrian tanks and our tanks, 50 meters. About 180 Israeli tanks defended the Golanites at first 24 hours against about 2,000 Syrian tanks. The Golanite war flooded by Syrian tanks. His company continued to fight together with my friends, the paratroopers, who were at the south of Golanites. In military, we say, never leave the wounded behind. Never leave the wounded behind. My brother was left behind, bleeding, shouting for assistance. And he was evacuated 7 days later. Too late, dead already. I didn't know. At the same time, when he was fighting in the north, I fought in the south of Israel, losing many of my friends. I lost about 100 close friends. I'm speaking at the age of between 19 to 24. In my own company, 4 were killed, 11 critically wounded. In my battalion, 25. In my brigade, more than 100. In my class at high school, 7 were killed. In my high school, the Reali Ivri in Haifa, 73 were killed. 73 from the same high school. Until now, from my high school, more than 300 were killed for defending the state of Israel. So I'm the generation of the Yom Kippur War. Yom Kippur War was a shock for the state of Israel. And I want to remind you why it happened, the Yom Kippur War. Because just 24 hours before the war started October 6, 1973. On October 5th, Friday, 1973, we jumped from Hercules on a uniform, and I released my company home to 48 hours vacation for Yom Kippur, the holiest day we are in synagogue. Yes, I released them home. But Friday afternoon, we were called back to return to our units. And Saturday, October 6, 73, 2 p.m., the earth were shook. All over the Golanites. Why it happened? It happened because of our hubris. Our hubris. We didn't count the Arabs. We said they are nothing, the Arabs. After the 67 war, 67, we conquered three big armies, the Egyptian, the Syrian, the Jordanian. In 6 days, we told we are empire. A kindergarten can conquer the Arabs. They are nothing. They don't know to fight. Don't count them. So the results were horrible war. We lost nearly 3,000 in 3 weeks, among them my brother. At the end of the war, I write to telephone call home. My mom was surprised to hear my voice. The rumor said both of us were killed. And then I got the courage and asked, what about Iran, mom? She said, we have no Iran anymore. I came home. There were no funerals after the Yom Kippur War. No Shiva. Why? Because they were all buried in temporary cemeteries. The funeral happened 1 year later. 11 months, between 11 months and 1 year later. So I did my own investigation on the last battle of my brother, and I swore, near his burn tank, I swore. I stayed military, never leave a wounded soldier behind, just like that. That was 1973. I did my oath for my bleeding brother here, inside me. I continue staying, serving in military for the memory of my bleeding brother. Sworn to never leave a wounded behind, just like that. I didn't share with my friend or my family. And then, 11 years later, 1984, Didi, my wife and me, having a child. And our child became something like a huge echo box of my bleeding brother. And this son, who has never said one word, told me so much about the disabled, the handicapped, the wounded, the weakest members in our society. At first, you need to remember, what are these children? These children, unable to replace diaper, unable to dress by themselves, unable to eat by themselves, unable to choose the color of their shirt, unable even to say, my dear father, please replace my diaper. I'm 30 minutes done. Please, my dear father, I want Coca-Cola, I want water, I want pastry, I want hummus, I want meat, nothing. It seems to me these children got 3 life sentences. Number one, a broken body, no independent at all, unable to do anything by their own power, no independent at all. Fully dependent on other people's power, number one. Number two, one day being taken and put in institute. Number three, living behind walls, high walls of shame and stigma and stereotype. Because, sorry to tell you, is considered retarded, that's the word. That was sound in Israel, retarded. You are nothing. You can give nothing, you will be given nothing. You are nothing. You are zero. So this child showed me the backyard of the state of Israel. At first, Didi, my wife and me moved from institute to see how children like him are living in Israel. So we moved from institute to institute. You open the door, and then a blow of stink at your face. Stinky, horrible places. Number two, children who have prayed from the wall, distorted faces, they look at you with fear. Children who are scared. Why? Here's our prince. Why? Why is they are so scared? Because they are harassed. Because they are ignored. Because they are humiliated. And then we saw the workers, the staff, working with them. Shameful people. So shameful. You ask them, what is this place? What's the name of this place? They don't even have the courage to say the name of the institute. You ask them outside, where you work? Shameful stuff. We came to our social worker at our town, Rishon LeZion. We lived in Rishon LeZion. We came to our social worker, said, you can't believe we saw horrible places, stinky, horrible places. Our prince will never live in this place. She said, you know what? Near Jerusalem, there is St. Vincent Monastery. Maybe we, the Jews, you listen well, maybe we, the Jews, we are not good with retarded. Put him in the monastery. Handling to the Christians, maybe they are better than us. By the language of this son, oh, my dear father, what a Jewish country you built. My dear father, you are sure this is the only Jewish place? This is the only Jewish country in the world? My dear father, so there is no place for me. You want to handle me to some Christians? And then we started hearing horrible stories about taking these children, put them overseas. Another case, another case, another case, and another case. One of the great leaders in our independence war, a friend of my parents, was Yigal Alon. I believe you heard the name Yigal Alon. Yigal Alon was also Major General, was a legend. He was the best commander in 48, in our independence war. The best commander. And there is bio about Yigal Alon. What written, what Professor Anita Shapira wrote about Yigal Alon. They had a daughter, Nurit, born in Kibbutz Genosar, north of Israel. She didn't speak until age 5. She is described as a beautiful child. At age 5, the Alon family conducted discussion. What we do with Nurit. They decided no place for Nurit in our family, neither in the kibbutz nor in the state of Israel. She was taken to Scotland. Put in Scotland. This is not the British white paper 1939. Remember the Brits? The British mandate in Palestine, 1939, wrote the white paper, which said no place in Palestine for more than 100,000 Jews. This is our own family. It's after the birth of the only Jewish state in the world. No place for severely disabled children like him, like Nurit. 3 years ago, I invited to the village which you saw a friend of Yigal Alon, her name Ada Sireni. Ada Sireni, she was operative in the Mossad. She was also behind the operation of kidnapping Adolf Eichmann. Remember the name Adolf Eichmann?
Yes.
Okay, 1960, was kidnapped from Argentina. Killed and massacred many Jews. So our Mossad brought him to Israel. Ada Sireni was among the heroic operatives. She gave an interview just about 2 months ago because the commander of the team, Rafi Eitan, just passed away. So yeah, she gave an interview. 3 years ago, I invited Ada Sireni to visit Alena. At the end of the visit, I told him, you know, your friend Yigal Alon didn't speak about Nurit know it was taken to Scotland. She said, Dawn, look at me. My daughter Oli, born in Kibbutz Iron, north of Israel. We decided the same as Alon family. We took Oli, put her in London, and she passed away at the age 43. We didn't visit her. We didn't speak about her. If you Google Ada Sireni, you won't find any memory to Oli. No memory. It is not mentioned. By the voice of our son, my dear father, what a shame. There is no place in the Holy Jewish state for children like me. You put me overseas. My dear father, I am unable to speak. I'll never complain about you. You can, if you want, you can take me, put me in some monastery in Switzerland, in Denmark, or whatever. It's up to you. I will never complain. I'll know. I'll never speak to the media, never give interview, never speak with Channel 1 or Channel 10 or Channel 14. Nothing, my dear father. But if this is your decision, well, what a shame are you. You do not deserve the title human being. You do not deserve even the title father. So make your mind. By the way, my dear father, you the Jews, you have some values. You say, call Israel Arevim de Lazer. All Israel responsible one for each other. Yeah, that's true, my dear father. What about me? I'm out of this formula. But I'm not Jewish. I'm son, flesh, I'm your son. Flesh from your flesh, blood from your blood, skin from your skin. I came to this world by mom and you. You have no responsibility? You don't want to take responsibility over my life? What about you? Wake up! So we decided. When he was 18, we got a letter. In Israel, we have a special education law. According to the special education law, we got a letter saying to Didi and me, Didi, Doron, and Didi, your son reached the age 18. When he comes to 21, he won't be able to continue studying any longer at special education school. But now, up to you. Do whatever you want. In the United States, there's more or less the same law. Parents name it Bloody 21, the barrier of 21. No solution. In Israel, many parents attending me and Didi coming to our home. What we do? What we do? We got the letter of Ministry of Education. What we do? So we decided to do. When I was the commander of the Israeli Southern Command, we decided to build a village. I will build a village for him. I left the military in 2003, 2004 we started building, and 2006 we opened the village. Jan and Peter Ruben sitting here with us, they visited Alenegev. They have a son, Mark, 35 years old, disabled here in Copenhagen community, Jewish community, and they visited there. So they can say, what is Alenegev? It's totally different than any institute or solution for disabled people in the world. Why it's different? It's different because we frame people. We create institute for people. You are elderly, you suffer aging, okay. We put you in a nursing home for aging people. You're gonna die. One institute. You're a criminal, jail. You suffer mentally, another jail, institute. But for some people who are innocent, they need to be integrated in our society. For instance, why not to integrate nursing home for aging people like some of you sitting here in this hall? Why not create a place for aging people together with elementary school? And why not a student from 6 years old volunteered 2 hours a week with elderly people. Just 2 hours a week. You cannot volunteer, Jewish people, startup nation, cannot volunteer. We cannot educate our children to volunteer. What is social responsibility? What does it mean? Just a slogan, a title, written on the wall, Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, love your friend and love yourself. What does it mean? How we educate to assist? What is solidarity? What does it mean, solidarity? Solidarity is just a statement, I love you, my brother, run away, never see you. Put you in institute, close you. Bring Filipino to treat you. That's it? That's what we mean, the Jewish people? Wake up! So here's the wake-up call. He's behind this village. And I want to show you what is this village about. Number one, it was desert before. Today it's paradise. The color of the sand in Alei Negev was like this table, yellow. Yellow. No plantation at all. No water, no plantation. Now, it's a paradise. It's south of Israel. But it's also a paradise by the idea. It's not anymore institute. It's a social community center. We integrate the most severely disabled people. And I show you immediately how. But I want to tell you that in this village, living peacefully in full harmony, Muslims, Jews, and Christians, I have more than 100 Bedouin workers. They are Muslims. And they're all oriented to love the disabled. And they are working with full harmony with the Jews and the Christians. And I have many Christians also from Germany and all volunteers. I have more than 750 volunteers in this place. More than 750 volunteers. I call you today also, come and visit, and I would very much like to have some volunteers from Denmark, from Copenhagen, from the small Jewish community here in Denmark. Yes, come be filled. Together, we are one people. You can do good and assist the disabled. So we'll give them what is allowed. It's a place of the best education system, the best housing, the best healthcare system, the best cultural life, social life, gardens, music, entertainment, everything. It's holistic environment. Why? Because children like our son cannot fly to Denmark or to Switzerland or just to have a vacation for 4 days and get back. No. They're unable to do anything by their own power. So we decided to create for them a place which is paradise, giving them the maximum facilities ever, as I said. So what is the integrated community center? What is the model? The model saying this is not a closed institute. We don't want to put them behind fence, enveloping them, isolating them from the world. We want them to be a part of the world because they can be our educators. They can make us better people. So, rehabilitation. What does it mean, rehabilitation? Children like our son, the number of children like our son is between 0.5% to 1%, no more. But disabled, wounded, handicapped, the number is about 20%. Any one of us suffered from some injuries. Sport accident, road accident, home accident, some disease, broke leg, broke hand. So we need rehabilitation, physiotherapy, hydrotherapy, music therapy, communication therapy. We need rehabilitation services. There are rehabilitation services in Israel until now, quite poor. For 9 million people, we have about 860 beds, that's all. Very poor. We decided to build a rehabilitation center together, or inside this village, and also to build rehabilitation hospital. So rehabilitation, it means the residents of the village. We have 145 permanent residents, like our son. They are at the center. They are at the main focus. They should be loved. They are number one in the world. They are at the center. Rehabilitation, it means every day about 200 outpatients arriving for about three treatment. Maybe you are student in university or soldier, and you need, after injury, you need hydrotherapy, you need physiotherapy, psychologist, psychiatry. Good. Thank you. So every day about 200 people, outpatients, arriving to be treated in our rehabilitation center. Now we build the first rehabilitation hospital in this village. So this is number one. The metaphor, which is our daily life in the same swimming pool, you may find someone like our loved son, a child from the Bedouin community like Aisha or Rahma, a Christian guy, Jewish guy, head of regional municipality, soldier, whatever. They do rehabilitation together. No difference. No difference by religious, no difference by color, no difference. Full equality, number one. Serving the disabled by our rehabilitation center. Number two, education. Yes, we have ordinary kindergarten for ordinary children living in south of Israel. Completely normal. But we teach them from age one. What does it mean? Ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. What does it mean? Social responsibility. We teach them from little age not to be arrogant. Because I'm lucky, I'm successful. We teach them to be humble. We teach them to assist those who are not lucky, those who are not privileged as you. Not from a position of arrogance, but from a position of equality. I'm more lucky. I'm healthy, I'm powerful. I will assist you. We'll do it together. Because in a split second, I can find myself in the same situation. So this is education. Occupation, we have 450 workers. We also do vocational therapy centers. We heal and treat people by working together in a workshop, doing ceramic, doing painting, and more things. Volunteering, yes, this is, I think, the main engine to change society is by volunteering. You may start volunteering when you are elderly, you may start volunteering at 6 years old. What I want to do, to make a mess of volunteers all over Israel by all our elementary school students, all of them, to come and volunteer and start from 6 years old, 2 hours a week. Yes, we can do it. I think working with disabled people as volunteers, by my own will, reduce my ego and make me a better person. Visits. What does it mean, visits? In Judaism, we say mitzvat bikur cholim. It's an order to visit wounded people. We do it. You know, I was educated in Israel in good schools. Elementary school, high school, university. None of my teachers said there is mitzvah to visit wounded. No. but each mitzvah, it made good to the wounded. So in Ale Negev, we have every day about 100 people visit us. We encourage people from all over the world every day to come and visit the wounded. And it's good. And you know what the visitors are saying? We got proportion in our life. We understand better than ever before the temporary essence of our life. We have our life before visiting and our life after. And we may invest our life to do a better society. I want to show you a little bit the hydrotherapy center, serving every day about 200 outpatients, serving our children who are living in the village. Next. I spoke about the kindergarten. This is the kindergarten for ordinary kids, from age one, completely normal kids. They are surrounded by disabled people. And you see, who is the teacher? This is Sima. She is from the Ethiopian community. I was lucky to be the commander of the operation 1984 to bring Sima and the family from Sudan. She was 12. Yes, she is now 47. She is the teacher in this kindergarten. From time to time, I get inside her kindergarten, she's crying. Why you cry, Sima? She says, you didn't hear the news? Student from Ethiopian community in Ashdod were beaten by policemen. You didn't hear the news? You didn't hear the news? Some of the Ethiopian were not allowed to drink wine. Yes, tasting, taste wine. It's a profession to taste wine in a winery. So some said in Israel, no, no, no. Don't take blood from the Ethiopian, they are black. Yes, our Jewish people. Yes, what I'm coming for, I'm coming to say we should erase any discrimination. Because discrimination was the outcome of the massacre of 6 million Jews in Europe, Second World War. We should never forget what discrimination brought to our people. And never, we should never take discrimination by our own decision and continue differing between these people or that people. So, Sima, she's the teacher. She wiped tears, telling me, bring more children from the village. I know what is love. I will teach them. At the other side, the left side, you see disabled children. We integrate them in the ordinary kindergarten. This guy is named Meir Averdi. Meir and Shula. They arrived to my village, Ale Negev, 8 years ago. They said, we want to foster a child. But although we have 145, you can go all over, take the one you want, choose. Many of them abandoned. Many of them are not visited by parents. Parents don't say, I have a child. Yes, many parents in Israel leave their child in hospital, continue, and we take them. We are the parents. So, they are the parents, you see, it's religious. They are the parents of a Bedouin child, her name Rahma. They call it Rahmi. If you come to Shula, ask Shula, what is this child for you? The child now is 10 years old. And she is adopted by Shula and Meir. So Shula saying, you see my belly? 5 children came from here. She was born from here, from my heart. She's speaking about the Bedouin child, Rahma, adopted child in Christ. And what a love by religious Jews to a Muslim child, the way it should be. Yeah, child is a child. Next. On the left side is Timo. Timo, born in Berlin, is Christian. His grandparents were Nazis. They killed Jews. They killed and massacred Jews. And one day, after he became aware to what his grandparents did, he decided to come and volunteer. He came for 1 month, stay 1 year. You should hear Tim. You can go to his Facebook, see his testimonies, what he's saying. He said, I came for atonement. Atonement on the murder of 6 million Jews. Atonement on Hitler's decision to kill the disabled first. Don't know if you remember or no, but September 1st, 1939, the first day of Second World War, Hitler by himself signed the T4 Actia. T4 Actia was an order signed by Hitler to ship the psychiatric centers all over Germany to small concentration camps. Gather the disabled, the retarded, and kill them by small gas chambers. So Timo and his friends coming to volunteer. We call it Tikkun Olam, make our world a better society. And this is Shil, soldier, genius. She was placed near Ale Negev, near our village. She came to volunteer. She sent home many pictures by WhatsApp. In all the pictures, it's written in Ale Negev with Leon, my future husband. Leon is severely disabled. Leon is CP, cerebral paralysis, handicapped, unable to do anything by his own. About 5 years ago, she ended the military service, traveled to Peru, and found a tragic death together with a friend. He was brought back to Israel in a coffin. She did selfie with Leon. It's all written the same. In Ale Negev with Leon, my future husband. They do selfie. In Ale Negev with Leon, my future husband. What she meant, I think she didn't mean get married with you. That was just cynically written as a joke, but she loved him. You can see by the eyes, smiling eyes and smiling face, you can see she loved Leon. We moved in our cities. We see an advertising of beautiful model all over, and we have aesthetic standard in our society. What is more beautiful, less beautiful? But what I'm telling you, what she is telling us, she, the model of beauty, it's here. It's inside. In Judaism, there is a statement, "Al tistakel bakankan ela ma sheyesh bo." Don't look at the outside, but rather the inside. Well, what is the inside? I'm not speaking about the beauty face. I'm speaking what is inside. She is saying, you know, the understatement of Shil. Don't look at the outside of Leon, he's handicapped, he's unable. But look at the inside of us, of the healthy, powerful people among us. What kind of society are we if we leave them behind? Or if we don't properly treat Leon and his friend? What a society are we? If we want to be deserved the title humanity. So, this is the message of Leon. She's not anymore with us, the volunteer soldiers from the newest base in Alei Negev named Shir. Shir is song in Hebrew. Shir Balev, song in our heart. This is the name of the project of volunteers from the new military intelligence base. I want to conclude and tell you that our son is not anymore with us. He passed away 12 years ago, February 7, 2007. His spirit spread all over the village, to every corner. His spirit is the goodness of the world. The son was never said one word, never said Abba, never said Ima, never made eye contact. And he was the greatest professor of my life. And I still miss his hug. And I want to conclude by saying we need to measure the strengths of our social chain by the strengths of the weakest links. The more we do to strengthen the weakest links, we are better people and better society. Thank you very much.
Funded 50% by the government, 50% by donors. Who are the donors? Donors from United States mainly, from Canada, from Australia, from Germany, from Holland, from Israel, of course. Big foundation like the JNF, the Jewish National Fund in the United States. The Jewish National Fund until now raised more than $25 million. UIA, the United Israel Appeals in Australia, in Latin America, in Germany, in Holland. We did some fundraising through the UIA. We got our own foundation also in some places in Europe, like UK, like Germany. So we have few channels to transact money from overseas. We have more sources of income. We sell services, as I explained, like the rehabilitation. We are paid. We have a department for soldiers, I'm paid by Ministry of Defense. They paid nicely, 2,000 shekel a day for a day of rehabilitation per soldiers. We are paid by the Israeli HMOs. I said 200 people arrive every day for outpatient, so we are paid by the Israeli HMOs. It's insurance. Every Israeli citizen must be insured by the health service. So we are not paid by the people, we are paid by the insurance company for all the rehabilitation services. the children in the village, parents do not pay. Parents do not pay. The children are covered, the residents, the permanent residents, about 80% of the money from national social security in Israel. We have the national social security cover all the citizens in Israel. They do not cover the 100%, but they cover about 80%. The rest 20% donation. So we do a lot of fundraising. We create an endowment fund in order to have more funds for bedtime after we are not here anymore. We want the project to continue. We want our successor to continue with the same spirit, but also to have enough money to continue. But behind the money, it's again, it's the same commitment. When I was young, you know, I was not rich, I'm not rich even now, but when I was young, I was ready to give my life. Every single minute. I did many operations saving Jews. What I get? Some gave their life, like my brother. Some were ready to give their life. That is a commitment. Flying to save Jews from Entebbe, this is commitment. This is a formula. This is a contract, a psychological contract between soldiers serving in Israel Defense Forces and the Jewish people all over the world. We are ready to do anything to save Jews all over the world, any place. This is one part of the commitment. The other part of commitment, yes, people, Jews all over the world, must be proud. We belong to the Jewish people. We are also have some shares in the only Jewish state in the world. We have families, we have some of our values, some of our heart in a Jewish country. But yes, we should donate for the Jewish country, continue living here in Denmark or United States or UK, but also this is a kind of guarantee. It may be by volunteering, coming to Israel, and a period of volunteering together with disabled or other things in Israel, but that kind of commitment. We need to have commitment, we need to continue educating our children for commitment. It's very important. It's also a source of fund for us. Thank you.
Yes, Pastor? Right, please, Pastor.
Thank you so much. It is so inspiring and such a beautiful story that you're telling, because it sort of gives you inspiration to get the feeling of I have to do something myself too. Do you work on that part where you say the children have no parents because they're left behind? Do you do any work in that context, also sort of maybe preparing people so you do not have to give up your child because it's disabled?
Yeah. One of the reasons that I'm speaking here and in many lectures in Israel, about three, four lectures in Israel every week, to strengthen parents, to say, parents, don't leave your child behind. You brought him to this world, something happened. You know, in our life, we do not choose the events that would come. We have no algorithm to predict what the future will bring. We face crisis in every family. As John Lennon said, you know, life is what happened to you when you have a different program. Well, we have a program, we want to do that. If something happened, crisis, all our life changed. So what we say to parents, yes, continue being parents. If difficult, we'll assist you. It's also about the solidarity and commitment. We'll assist you by coming to your home, taking your child every day by volunteers, take him to a journey, to 1 hour, 2 hours. We are together with you. You know, we know parents have no much power to face it, to face crisis. We would like to strengthen the parents. So what we did also in Israel is a call center for parents. We have in Jerusalem a call center every day, parents asking advice, many small things they don't know, how to be funded, how to appeal social service, health service, education service, what paper to fill and things like that, but also the big issue that I have no power, I can't continue, I want to divorce my husband, I have no power. Yes, also coming, assisting, psychological advice, sometimes psychiatric advice, showing, yes, you are not alone. So that's what we try to do, to strengthen parents and create legitimacy for the disabled. Because the main point why parents ignore it, they feel there's no legitimacy in our society for the mentally brain damaged child with nothing. People, you know, as I said, parents want successful child. So if he is not successful, I'm not successful, I have no place in this world, I want to die. No, we say parents, we all temporary creature. The question of our life to do meaningful things will assist you. We are together. We are together with you. That's it. This is this kind of message we bring to Israel community society, trying to make Tikkun Olam better society, better people, more assistance, more love, more solidarity. That's all.
Can I ask you something?
Just a moment.
I'm
sorry. Thank you for a fantastic, interesting, fascinating lecture. Thank you. And thank you for you and your wife. Thank you, God, for you. Thank you.
She's braver than me.
I've decided to come and volunteer. And I hope that some other people will come with me here from Denmark. Thank you.
It is here. Thank you. Thank you.
Also for me, it's really, it shows an amazing quality which you have, which not everybody, unfortunately, does have. I just wanted to know why you think that Jewish people, it's not nice to say it, but I have noticed that non-Jewish people are actually kinder to their handicapped people than Jewish people, and it's not nice to say, but I wondered why you have any insight into this.
I don't agree that there is different culture having more sympathy and empathy and love to disabled. I think in our culture, in our doctrine, the Jewish doctrine, we have everything inside. What is needed is the implementation. What is needed is the education. We need, you know, people. In our world, there are good people, there are nice people, there are bad people, there are many people, all kinds of people, all over. But evil things happen, and bad things happen in our world, and it happened by people. People, some of them, arrogant, big ego, they don't understand, I think, what is life about. So. This is a challenge. We need to challenge ourselves to be better. To be better by, I think the most important thing, better human being. Not only the best technician, the best engineer, the best lawyer, the best professor, whatever. Having more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge is important. Yes, we need to also make a lot of focus on being better people, more human in our daily behavior. And this is a daily challenge. And well, we have everything inside our culture. It's not, you know, in respect, for instance, Germany. And you know, the racist doctrine of Hitler, where it came, when it came, in Europe, not far away from here. It happened here in Europe, civilized Europe, very civilized, and it happened. So we need all the time to have a mechanism of lessons learned on ourselves, on humanity, on people's behavior, and to do best and to be better humanity all the time.
Are there other questions? As a leader of the Jewish Culture Festival, one can ask why we decided, why we invited to an event which is not poor culture. The Culture Festival has decided many months ago, already late summer, I think we contacted you first time, and decided, of course, here is the place, is the right place also to talk about other just subject and concert and lecture. There is a very important message, and we thank you very much, Mr. Dornan, for coming to here. And I also will mention that this visit is, there is no fee, I have to mention it, for this is just, and I thank you for this coming to us. And I know there is some possibility, if somebody think that is, you want to support the project, and I know there is other institution, maybe you can talk more, Peter, about it, but there are some certain rules and the possibilities. I'm not the expert of this, but I would like to mention this.
Thank you, Mr. Almog. Thank you, Jakob. Very briefly, I'm from Kerenai Sot, who collect funds for different kind of charitable projects in Israel, including Aliyeh. You can see more contact details on the flyer, and I'll go over to Danish. Vi har også en bod udenfor, hvor I er meget velkommen til at komme forbi og høre lidt mere om, hvordan I gennem danske mobile pay på bankkonto kan bidrage til det formidable arbejde, som der rundt med DD for alle frivillige laver. Og så til allersidst, I må også meget gerne, hvis I kender nogen, der ikke har mulighed for at give penge, men som gerne vil komme som frivillige og komme en uge eller måned længere, så kan I altid kontakte os. Som sagt, der ligger flyer rundt omkring, og vi står i boden lige udenfor. Så igen tak.
Just small contribution for the discussion.
Thank you. Thank all of you. I hope the tax won't take it. It's liquid, you know. Thank you very much, Howard.
Det var så Doron Almog. Afslutningsvis vil jeg spille et par jazznumre med Ted Rosenthal. Ted Rosenthal har lige optrådt på den jødiske kulturfestival, hvor han sand med Benjamin Koppel spillede sin jazzopera Dear Eric. Radio Shaloms lytter har måske hørt mit sidste lørdags jazz, hvor jeg netop serverer en optagelse af denne koncert med et efterfølgende interview med Ted og hans hustru Leslie. Leslie har sammen med Ted forfattet librettoen til operaen. Her kommer så Ted Rosenthal Trio, der først optræder på Live at the Falcon i 2011, og bagefter kommer en optagelse fra Long Beach New York Jazz Festival fra 2013. Og dermed siger jeg, Alexander Milchdagslau, tak for i aften og på genhør.
Thank you.